In seeking to discover the value of today's gospel, anyone fortunate enough to have attended a wedding in a small rural community has a leg up on those who have not. At such rituals, sometimes paralleled in ethnic urban environments, one finds that the power of the liturgical meaning of the actual wedding is often underscored by the exuberant celebration that follows. After the commitment of vows, day-long events continue the celebration. This involves nearly everyone in the community. It's filled with beverages, including those of the adult-only variety, lots of food, dancing, and other kinds of merrymaking for all ages, an extended family doing what they do best. Surely such weddings reflect conditions in biblical times, the kind of weddings Jesus attended, including the one at Cana of Galilee. A whole village, a day's long celebration, lots of food and dancing and storytelling and reminiscing and much wine to drink. But what must have begun as an ordinary wedding at Cana resulted in anything but an ordinary action. We heard today an account of Jesus' earliest miracle. John calls them signs. That makes this a perfect lesson for Epiphany because it manifests, it shows forth what God is for us. The reason for John's telling the story is not to make a big deal about a miracle, but to point to the reality of who Jesus is and who we can be as a result. All of John's stories about Jesus point beyond themselves to reveal the character and nature of God. John uses the story of Jesus at the wedding in Cana of Galilee to reveal something much deeper and broader than any simple miracle could convey. In the midst of an ordinary celebration, Jesus does something so remarkable that we are forced to think about who we are and who God is as we are faced to reflect on the mysteries of Christ and re-examine our own lives, digging deeply into our souls to discover what God wants for us and from us. We can't miss the obvious fact that this is a miracle, a story about abundance and extravagance. We hear about an enormous amount of wine, 20 to 30 gallons per jar, times six jars, way too much, and by any standard, extravagant. A clear example of the grace God bestows on us in such abundance, beyond anything we should ever expect or could ever deserve. It's a message to remind us that God wants us to celebrate life, to enjoy the company of one another as companions engaged in this great adventure called life. This is also obviously a miracle of transformation and new possibilities. In Cana, Jesus made it possible for the wine of celebration to continue flowing. This reminds us of a central symbol of our faith: Jesus providing for us the wine of a whole new creation that continues to sustain us. Recounting the story of Jesus changing water into wine was John's way of showing that he had come to do nothing less than transform the common into the holy. In Christ, we learn about the power of God to transform the incomplete into the whole, to transform the weaker into the stronger, to transform the ordinary into the precious, to transform the despised into the beloved, to transform the tasteless into that which gives joy to the heart, to transform what we are into what we can become. How well this transformation takes place depends on our connectedness with God. And that connectedness depends on our connectedness with Jesus, in whom we see the human face of God. The unity between Christ and humankind has been explained in Scripture through the example of marriage. In today's Old Testament lesson, for example, we heard the prophet Isaiah use the wedding metaphor to describe God's redemption of Israel. In this passage, the prophet refers to a time when Jews would return to Jerusalem after the exile, the eventual creation of a new Jerusalem from the one that had been destroyed. Isaiah encourages the people with stirring words, "You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." In the New Testament, wedding metaphors are used to exemplify the relationship of God with the people of God. We are encouraged to better understand our relationship with the unseen God by examining the nature of love between two people in an ideal marriage. In this way, we can better know the love that God intends for a relationship with us, the very children of God. Translated into our own reality, wherever Jesus went, He turned water into wine. Whether He was on the hill sending demons into pigs, healing the hemorrhaging woman, or being crucified for every one of us, this was His glory. To those who invited Him to be a part of the celebration of their lives, to those who, like Mary, called upon Him to answer their everyday neediness, things both great and small, God's glory in Jesus is a joy-producing reality. This is the foremost promise of the gospel. The last thing on the minds of people at a wedding celebration is to abstain. Everyone is there to live it up, including Jesus. It means that entrusting our lives to Jesus means somehow to allow Him to be the host of our lives. It means that because we have allowed Jesus to be our host, we enter into the unimaginable generosity and joy of the bridegroom, the new host, the new wine. Come and drink.